Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night again at 8 p.m. My name is Brian Powers. I'm here at New Jersey Revolution Radio Studios North in Woodbridge, New Jersey, to talk about everything going on around activism in New Jersey, art in New Jersey, and sometimes we leave the borders of New Jersey to talk about what's going on in the rest of the world. I want to welcome you to New Jersey Revolution Radio Live, streaming every Wednesday, 8 p.m. YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook Live. If you want to donate, we appreciate that. We have staff to pay, we have equipment, we have overhead, and none of that is free in a capitalist society. So if you could chip in a few dollars, we really do appreciate that. Go to www.njrevolutionradio.com to make a donation, a sustaining donation, support our streamers and all the great production work we do here. Like our comrade Leah. Leah is here. Hi, our assistant producer. How are you, Leah?
I'm doing well.
Your
How
mic
are
is
you?
Not on. I'm good. Oh, I'm good. So you're your third show, right?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. This is your
okay,
third,
cool.
This is your third show, right?
Yeah, this is my third show with you.
Third show, and before the show, Leah already said she needed some time off. She already needs a break from us. So it's been
no, I'm just going on vacation.
I'm just teasing a little bit. A lot goes on, right? It's amazing how much goes on before this little 45-minute segment, right?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of prep that goes into it before and after the stream. So
yeah. So that's so everybody knows Leah's doing the writing after. So those posts that you're seeing all of a sudden, they got to be more than 50 words or so. The reason right there is Leah and her just a brilliant talent. So I want to thank you for all your hard work, Leah.
Thank you.
Those are the kinds of things that donations go. So I'll talk to you after the show. So the kinds of things that your donations go is to make sure that, you know, Leah's compensated for her hard work and her labor. And that's just really important. You know, I got a labor background and I believe all labor is valuable. So please contribute where you can. I want to welcome in my co-host last week as my co-host here at New Jersey Revolution Radio Live. But, you know, we're going to hang out a whole lot more after this. Hi, Kim.
Mike. Hey, how are you doing?
Camden. How you doing?
All right.
How was your week?
I'm busy, but it was good.
Did you do anything for Father's Day?
Not much. I just hanged out with my dad and my son and my grandson.
It's nice. Did you go anywhere? Did you stay COVID safe?
Where am I going to go? It's COVID.
My mom had a backyard party. We went to a backyard party.
That's about it. The backyard. That's about it. There's not much else to do.
It was weird. I mean, watching what's going on around the States. I think we're going to talk about that in a little bit. We're going to watch, you know, watching what's with the spice. It was weird, you know, hanging out with family and stuff. But we'll talk a little bit about that, I believe, later on. I want to start off this week's show following up on the activities that happened in Newark. As many know, there was a mutual aid march organized by the Newark Water Coalition and a number of other groups. Reports came back afterwards. I wasn't there personally, but I got a lot of reports of people in there disrupting the march, screaming in people's faces using a megaphone. There were reports of somebody cited with a gun and threats of killing protesters I saw. And you know, it was just very disturbing to me. One of the things I saw was the Green Party you know, a lot of the radicals and revolutionaries were right away, you know, crying out like, what's going on here? Why do we have a city officials seemingly, you know, threatening peaceful protesters, giving away food? And it's such an absurd thing to see happen. But, you know, many kind of, you know, see, you know, saw the politics behind it and understand, you know, what happened. Now, I don't quite know everything that happened because it wasn't there. But I honestly, like, some of the lines about people coming to Newark, maybe being killed if they come to Newark, got to me as somebody who goes to Newark and who's been arrested in Newark protesting, who has a lot of friends in Newark, who goes there for the culture, the art, and all kinds of things. I feel uncomfortable now because I'm wondering if I'm going to get killed if I go there. How real was that threat? I don't really know. I really don't know who made it or where it came from. It's just stuff that I heard. So I reached out to some friends. And in particular, I reached out to the Larry Ham campaign. Larry's a longtime activist, running as a Democrat. I've been, you know, I never really trashed Larry too much because he's done a lot. I mean, he's advocated for the victims of police violence and their families for years. He's helped me personally in my efforts. Newark, when I first started organizing, Newark, the People's Organization for Progress, was where I got a lot of political education. So I can't, you know, I've never been one to come on and say, well, you know, and rant and rave about Larry Hamm because he's running for as a Democrat just because I disagree with that. It seems inappropriate. And I thought maybe I could reach out. So I didn't reach out to Larry directly, but I reached out to his campaign manager. And I said, hey, you know, we're going to talk about this. I mean, it's Larry's stomping grounds. I mean, is Larry going to make some kind of statement? And I got some kind of reaction like, oh, you know, yes, we're very concerned about the not me, it's us campaign is very concerned about what happened. And we'll get back to you. I said, okay, I gave him my contact information. A couple of days go by, they didn't get back to me. So I started trying. I said, what are you going to do here? Like, you know, they're threatening to kill people. I'm one of the people that they're kind of threatening to kill. If that's happening, you're going to make a statement. And nothing got back. So I started reaching out to other people that I know on this campaign. Because believe it or not, I do talk to a Democrat behind the scenes. But this is why I am the way that I am. Because after China, the best I got back right now from the Not Me, It's Us campaign, from one of their people, is that they're going to make a statement tomorrow on Thursday. And I told them 3 or 4 days ago that I'm doing a show on Wednesday night. And I'd like to put out your reaction, you know, by then. So just so conveniently now they're putting out their statement tomorrow. And these are honestly like, Kim, you know, I'm not going on and on about names here. But for the love of Christ, these are people I expected to speak out and to do the right thing. And they're not speaking out. And it's all over, once again, the Democratic Party. It's always the fucking Democratic Party keeping people quiet for an election, keeping mm-hmm. people quiet so you don't embarrass this person or that person. It ain't easy to attack Larry Hamm, and I don't feel like I am attacking him. I'm stating facts, and if Larry doesn't know, his campaign manager is burying this. His campaign manager is burying this. She's not getting back to me. What the fuck? I just want to say, for all you keeping quiet, if between now and the time that you open up your mouths, somebody takes one in the back of the head and winds up dead in the streets, I don't want to see you at that fucking funeral. If that threat is, I don't know how real the threat is. Maybe somebody said some shit offhand and it's a joke and I'm taking it too seriously. I don't know. What I do know is I got several people saying that activists were threatened with getting shot and killed and y'all are going to be quiet rather than say the right thing. Don't go to the funeral if it happens. I got cool off. And that's the best I can do, Kim. How'd I do?
You did good. You did good. It's hard when we as activists on outside the Democratic Party, you know, still want to try to work with everybody on great causes and then have these politicians who want to co-op everything just because it's near election time. You know, I mean, and then after election time, we won't see them. You know, so it's sad that, you know, and I always believe, you know, one reason I left the Democratic Party is because you can't change a Democratic Party within. It's going to change you.
These comrades know who they are. And I've had these conversations with them for years. And they're like, no, I'm the progressive. I'm doing it. I'm changing it from the inside. I'm not like them.
No. If they want to change it, then they come over and join the Green Party.
If you're not like them, if you're different than them, then explain to me why you're being quiet to protect them right now.
Yeah.
You're not any different than any of the other Democrats right now to me. I'm sorry. And this, oh my God, this hurts I can feel it in my gut right now how much it hurts to say that. But how can I think any differently?
Yeah.
Madeline Hoffman came out with a press release the next day. I spoke out about it I got on the air as soon as I could. I was on the phone the instant I found out it happened. I was on the phone trying to find out what the fuck happened and trying to make sure that you know, what's credible, what's not. Doing my best. But when I come to anybody affiliated with the Democratic Party, I hit the stone wall. All of a sudden, we're protecting people. Making sure nobody gets in trouble. Fuck. Jimmy, are you going to cheer me up telling me about universal health care?
I don't know if this is going to cheer you up a little bit, but of course.
I said it at that, and y'all do what you're going to do. You told me you're going to speak out tomorrow. Let's see what you got to say.
Yeah.
You bet your dollars to donuts it's going to be weak as fuck, and I'm not going to be any less mad, but let's move on. I did. We brought this up because I got a letter from my piece of shit congressman, Frank Pallone.
Oh, okay.
You know Frankie, right?
Yes. He's a big support. I'm sure he supports Medicare for All. No.
Been for Medicare for All.
No, I know he is.
One of the biggest advocates in the history of mankind. Nobody has ever wanted health care for all more than Frank Pallone. Right, Kim?
Oh, no. I don't think there is any Democrat even in there. Even the people who write the bills or the people who support say they support Medicare for all do not truly support a true Medicare for all. Because we know anything that Democrats pass is going to have for profit still in there. And you can never have a true Medicare for all until you have all capitalist privatization out of healthcare. It's never going to work. It ain't. They're going to keep privatization in there somehow, some way. And that's the sad part of it. You know, we've been fighting for this for a while. We just saw COVID right now. And COVID right now shows us why we need a Medicare for all. People were laid off from their jobs. So when you get your laid off from your job, you have to either, if you want to stay with your employer program, you have to do COBRA, which costs a fortune. Where people don't have insurance once they get furloughed or laid off from their job. And so then they have to buy into the marketplace. And someone who had lost their job back in July of 2014, who needed to buy into COBRA, what they do is they look back at my salary, what I made. And that's how they price my insurance. And then, but I couldn't afford that because I'm no longer making that salary because I'm collecting unemployment, which is only three quarters of my salary. And then when I file my taxes, what happens? I get socked for not having insurance and then I have to pay a penalty. we're seeing this again with, you know, and we're going to see this with people, you know, with the COVID. They're supposed to be paying people's hospital bills, they said, testing and everything. They're not going to. And we see people in healthcare were furloughed in healthcare system. Never before have I seen people ever be furloughed because there was certain, you know, people weren't doing certain things. They weren't doing elective surgeries. And that, you know, cuts a real big cost out of healthcare. That's why healthcare should never be a for-profit organization ever.
But that's what Frank Pallone and the Democrats want. They want Medicare for all, according to every piece of mailer that's coming to my house right now during, you know, the primary season. Do you have, I mean, where are we at politically? I mean, as far as getting, is there any real advocacy? We saw, and again, Democrats, right? AOC charges into Congress, all guns blazing, sitting in Nancy Pelosi's office, getting committees formed. She's going to be the champion. All this nonsense. I haven't heard shit from her. I haven't heard shit from anybody about Medicare for all until campaign flyers come to me claiming that Frank Pallone making Obamacare law was a step in the right direction, which was it a step in the, did it get more people private health care insurance? Okay, good. But it secured private health care. It's without even a public option. I mean, God, Jesus. You're going to claim, and then you're going to send out. And I think this is where, like, the politics of it just become very annoying because people carry Medicare for all. This is one, like, you would say Medicare for all and the environment are the two issues that all these politicians carry as a banner, but do not even do nothing, but actively work against. Frank Pallone was out there saying, no, we can't do Medicare for all. It's impossible. Stop trying. I don't want to do it. Like a year ago.
And have you ever seen the map of all the countries that have a national healthcare plan or a universal healthcare? I mean, practically every developed country has a Medicare for all, except for who? The United States.
America.
Exactly.
America.
It's really sad. And people think that, you know, it's only been like the last, you know, 6-7 years that we've been hearing about Medicare for all, maybe a little bit longer, but we've been fighting for this for a while. I mean, there's times where they were talking with Roosevelt, the first Roosevelt, trying to do a Medicare for all.
Right.
You know, so this is nothing new. And
it was part of the new deal, right? Medicare. What was the, he wrote new amendments or a new Declaration of Independence. Wasn't Medicare for all part of that?
I'm not sure if it was exactly, you know, but of course it started, you know, a little bit after, I think, I'm not sure if it was after Johnson that that we started seeing it for seniors, because seniors, you know, once you retire, you know, they needed some kind of help. So that's how Medicare All became about. You know, and they keep on changing the rules all the time. Now I read a new thing where, you know, well, now they're going to give you the option once you turn 60 to enroll in Medicare for All.
Ooh, whoopity-doo.
And this, and then with the bill that I think Bernie Sanders wrote, I think it was between, there was like anybody from like 18 and younger, and if I it might be a little bit wrong, when it's like 55 and older could do Medicare for All. They were going to enroll these people first. Well, the people that need insurance are the ones that are after the age of 26 that can no longer be on their parents. So there's a good group of people that you're leaving out. You know, it don't make sense.
Yeah.
And then the poor are the ones that get stuck the worst with it. You know, especially if you're a working poor who's makes a little bit too much for Medicaid, but not enough to buy into the marketplace.
Well, we know it's crappy already. I'm really honestly at this point, like I'm looking for the solution. And I think the frustrating thing for me is there was an engagement. There was a discussion on this after, you know, there was this blue wave, right? And it's just kind of died off. And now it doesn't seem like the politics went anywhere. And the conservative Democrats won. And not only did they win in killing a healthcare for all system, now they're campaigning as if they're helping it. It feels a little hopeless. And when you have, and yes. Then Joe Biden has even come out and say, no, we're not going to do this. Like, what the fuck? Why not? Jeez, the whole world is screaming at you to do this.
Because he's probably being paid somehow through some kind of insurance company or pharmaceutical company. A lot of politicians get money from them. So you're not going to, you know, bite the hand that feeds you.
and honestly, like, that's more or less what Congressman Frankie said. They don't out and out say, hey, it's because of my donors. But when you listen to their public statements, and Pallone is probably one of the worst, he's basically telling you, I can't do this because money. And it's disturbing. It's disturbing that, again, you know, we have these just, it's not even hidden anymore. It's basically, yeah, I'm a corporate shill and y'all just gotta accept it. Cause
I try to be optimistic to hope that someday it will come. But on the other hand, a little bit pessimistic thinking, I don't know.
I got to get some happiness on this show. I really do. We got to have an artist in. I'm mad that this is your last week. It's been a grumpy series of shows. It's been hard to be upbeat here.
Well, we have to inform the public. People are not dumb on this. They know what's going on, and they realize it's just a show to try to get people to vote. And you know, and then once they vote, away goes all the policies.
I gotta cheer people up. We're art and activism, not just activism. You know,
well, the good thing is,
I had a talk with a good friend, Chan, from Newark, one of the people that do 360 poetry nights. We were talking the other day, and she's not watching news, and she's in a way better mood than me. And you know, like, and honestly, it's a little bit of the world that we're in. And if you're paying attention to a lot of news and Black Lives Matter, there's not a lot of positive messaging. Although I see the struggle, really. Like, I hear those calls. Let's stop focusing on these tragedies and let's start looking at the beauty of these cultures, whether it be Black culture or, you know, Native American culture or LGBTQ culture, all these different cultures that we enjoy here. Let's start appreciating them more. And I think, oh God, we got to do some stuff like that. We got to have a party, Kim.
But we got to remember, it's activists like us that do change the world. If it wasn't for activists, you wouldn't have women's right to vote. You wouldn't have civil rights. You wouldn't end Vietnam War. So there is hope with activists. We do get a little depressed when things don't go our way, but we always keep the fight up. That's the one good thing.
If I set up a coffee shop show, you think people come out? It's COVID safe over there at the coffee shop. I can set up in the corner.
There you go.
It's a good vibe. I miss the coffee shop shows a lot. You've been to a few of them, and
yeah,
you know, we have a new guest host coming in next week, so maybe we could do a little transitional. Would you come? Would you come to the coffee shop?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I haven't been, so I would love to go.
He'll have us back, I'm sure.
She's got very good CBD stuff. right? I love
that. Yeah, he does. He has a good CBD that he put in the coffee. You know, he didn't pay me for an advertisement, so I shouldn't tell him that. But
Okay.
Mike, you're going to get a free commercial. So, all right, here we go. You know, let me get the music ready and we'll plug Mike in the coffee shop there and on Amboy Evan Edison. There you go. Now the music. So we can do the commercial. But yeah, so we'll give him a plug. Coffee House in Edison, Amboy Ev. He helps me out with mutual aid work. So he's been taking up collections there. I believe it's Tuesday. Take a look at their Facebook page. But he donates a portion of his proceeds once a week to a homeless charity, I believe. And he also helps me out with mutual aid. Mutual Middlesex stops there once a week. And he's got a donation bin. I take canned goods and all that kind of stuff from there. So give them a little plug. Tonight's show, though, is sponsored by the August Agency. And you've heard me talk about the August Agency because they always sponsor us and they're awesome. Charlie, I met through immigrants' rights activism. And he, like many other activists, runs a little small business that actually helps out quite a few people involved in the cause, particularly artists and independent contractors. He does QuickBooks accounting and he does it right here for New Jersey Revolution Radio. So when I gotta like tag things and label stuff when we buy like gas and things for our streamers, I hate doing that. So Charlie does it. You can get a hold of Charlie. You can go to www.theaugustagency.biz. Again, he does QuickBooks accounting and more, or you can call him 201-895-7227. Again, that's theaugustagency.biz. Charlie Canoe is the man over there. Let him know you heard about us on New Jersey Revolution Radio. And you can call him one more time, 201-895-7227. We're going to get ready to bring in our main guest here. We'll give her a heads up that she is coming in. Agnes Marsala is from People Over Pipelines. She's been on the show. It's been a long time since she's been on the show. But we're really glad to have you back. Agnes, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty well. Still COVID free. So.
Yes. Yeah. Have you met Kim before? I'm not sure. Kim, we did that show in the coffee shop a long time ago.
I think we did meet Wine, Women, and Revolution.
There we go. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you? Oh, you guys did a show together with Heather?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. Heather, Kim, does that ring a bell now? What was the topic?
I think we might have met during probably when she had the weed, wine, and women thing.
Right.
Yeah, weed, exactly. Wine. Yeah. Yep. See?
Weed, wine, and women. Wait a second. You guys are all over the map.
No, wine, women, and revolution or something.
Right. Did you meet at an event or did you?
We were smoking. No, I'm kidding.
Clearly, some weed might have been involved from the way this conversation started.
No, it was at the coffee shop. Many moons ago,
over 2 years ago. I can't believe that was so long. That was one of our first. That was where we like got the idea of, hey, doing a podcast at a coffee shop is kind of neat, you know. And done a lot more since. So welcome back. You're still involved with People Over Pipelines.
That's correct.
Give us a little background since it's been a while. Let's talk about what People Over Pipelines is, how it got founded, and what's the mission statement.
Well, it got founded. Originally, it was Responsible Pipelines, which started with a group of people on Province Line Road in Upper Freehold when a pipeline was going to be slated to come through their bucolic homes and wreck their peace. And they decided they would get together and try and move this pipeline. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, right away, all the groups, the NGOs told them that, you know, that's a NIMBY move. You can't have that NIMBY thing. You have to work against all pipelines. Because if you say, I don't want it in my backyard, then the company will be just like, oh, you're not against pipelines, just against pipelines in your backyard.
Right.
So we got together with them in Chesterfield and we said, well, why don't we just make up a whole new organization? We called it People Over Pipelines. So that was about 2014, 2015. And it was also connected to, well, it's the pipeline is called the Southern Reliability Link, the SRL. And it's one of only two pipelines in the state of New Jersey that are wholly in the state of New Jersey. That is to say, they don't cross borders. They don't come from Pennsylvania or go to New York or something like that.
Okay.
So the state of New Jersey has all the power to stop this pipeline, and they won't do it. They just won't do it.
More specifically, Phil Murphy has the power.
Right. It was started under Christie, but Phil Murphy has the power. I mean, he has plenty of photo ops, you know, and he follows Cuomo's lead on a lot of things, not just the COVID stuff. He's followed Cuomo's lead recently with what's called the Northeast.
Did they play supply. Golf? Did they play golf together?
I know they must.
Sounds like a golf.
There's something called the NESC, which just got denied permits in New York State. So it was an easy lift for Murphy to also deny them.
Right.
So, but this is something that's just him and his administration, his DEP, his BPU, and he just won't stop it. And recently, you know, so we've been fighting this for about 5-6 years now. And one of our founding members, and we've been at meetings, DEP hearings, permit hearings. I mean, we've gone every route you could go. Petitions, protests, everything. Well, they, you know, Christie changed a lot of the rules. There's this thing called rule permit by rule, which is a way that they get to not do the investigations they used to do. So where water quality is concerned, they just say, it's okay. And we don't have to do these individual streams. We don't have to worry about them. We'll just give a permit by rule for the whole pipeline. And when we testified, especially this homeowner that's just involved in this.
Where they got that model from. They got that from Public Utility Models, electric.
Well, it's the BPU, I think, that wrote it.
They cookie-cuttered out the model they used for electrical and other utilities and used it for natural gas, which is insane to a level of really, really stupid, but speaks to the kind of people that we put on boards of public utilities.
Right, and they're not elected officials. So
they're idiots.
there's very few ways we can move them. And there's really nothing you do but get them out the door. And then they just go to you, a company. The industry capture, the revolving door. So one of the things that we told them in our testimony was there's something called a horizontal directional drilling, HDD, which they do to get around a lot of the wetlands rules with trenching and stuff like that. They go down at an angle, then they go like this and go under a stream or some other wetland. And then they come up. Well, this might work in Texas, in Oklahoma. It doesn't really, but it works better because they know the lay of the land, and it's not here. The lay of the land is porous. There's a lot of sand and silt and sinkholes. And we told them this, and lo and behold.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what happened. I'll roll the tape a little bit here. And I think it's important for, you know, we get a lot of pushback from douchebags who say, oh, it's a big deal. You know, you're just going to run a little pipe through the neighborhood and they blow it off. They blow off the environmental effects, despite the long history of this country fucking up the environment. For some reason, they just can't believe that this really affects people. And so before I show this video, let's just say something cracks, something breaks, something comes up from the surface. What could be in sludge and discharge and things? What's so bad about a little water coming up from the earth?
Well, it wouldn't be that bad if it was just water, but this drill that they use is huge. And to lubricate it, they use this slurry, this sludge, that has things like bentonite in it and other secret things they don't want to tell you.
Sure.
They just call it in the press clay, a clay mixture.
And it's proprietary, so they don't have to reveal what's in it. And I've heard this before, do DEP officials know what's in it? Is it just kept right by?
No, I mean, I know they know what's in it, but they downplay it as if it's some kind of natural substance that wouldn't hurt a fly. Sure. Well, you know, enough mud will choke a street, even if it's just mud.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
But then there's also chemicals in the ground that come up, and God knows. And you're in New Jersey, which has 537 million Superfund sites at last count.
This property that you're going to show footage of,
yeah,
has been certified a wildlife sanctuary. This woman has worked for many years, 15, 20 years, to make this a sanctuary where autistic children come, where people just come to get some peace, and her neighbors come. And now that peace is shattered. You know, I mean, it's heartbreaking.
That's it. So here's her backyard. And I guess this is on her property, right?
Yes, this room, you could see minnows in it the day before it was.
And so we're looking clear. For the podcast, you can see this water is like, it's like a gray, that gray. I know what you're talking about, like a clay is coming up to it.
Right. But it's gray. That's the color of it, actually.
Normally a clear running stream, right?
The day before, clear as a bell.
And so you're seeing here. And then, so that's bad enough that you've got God knows what coming through your backyard. But let's just take a look at her basement now.
Yeah. Cracked the foundation.
And there it is.
The wall
is cracked.
Yep.
And there's that same gray, God knows what in water flooding to her house.
Never had any basement water at all.
Through a crack in the foundation.
Big cracks in the floor, cracks in the foundation. It buckled the walls. The fire marshal came, condemned and the building inspector came and condemned the property. She had 2 minutes while a fireman stood here in one door, a fireman stood here in another door to watch that it didn't collapse on her. She had 2 minutes to grab some stuff and go.
Wow.
That's scary. Woman is devastated.
I bet. And how long has she been there?
20 years.
Kim, have you seen stuff like this around you in South Jersey?
No, nothing like this. Unfortunately, I think they do it in more of the rural areas than in the, you know, more of the suburban areas. That's why, I did see the videos, and it's very sad. I mean, that poor lady, you know, how do you decide what to get in 2 minutes? You can't.
Right.
You can't. I couldn't.
Exactly. It's just, you're right, Kim, about the rural areas. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard the term environmental justice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because they put a lot of these environmentally harmful projects in the inner cities as well.
Yeah.
But they put a lot of them in rural areas too, because we're spread out. Our voices are thin. So it's hard to push back. Now, let me tell you, the only entity that's ever been able to stop work on this thing was the Burlington County engineer, Joe Brickley. I can tell you, that guy does his job with more integrity than anyone I know. I don't know if he's a Republican or a Democrat. That doesn't come into it with him. He does his job. And his job said, this is unsafe, and I'm going to stop this work order, even though it's not even in his county. The water flows into his county.
One of the things I'm most disturbed by is the Pinelands Commission, which has a charter. Can you just explain to me, because you can do it better than I can. I got the idea of it, but what the Pinelands Commission was designed and supposed to do in the first place?
Right. The Pinelands Commission, the New Jersey Pinelands is a worldwide biosphere. It's recognized as, you know, one of only like, I think, seven biospheres in the world that are significant. And the UN has also recognized it, because it recharges 17 trillion gallons of some of the cleanest water in the world. And that's the water in our aquifer that flows under New Jersey. And so we all should be very concerned about the water in the New Jersey Pinelands. And every year, development encroaches on it. Was the Pinelands Commission was set up to keep development out of the Pinelands. They have something called the Comprehensive Management Plan, which has a lot of rules and regulations concerning development. If you live in the Pine Barrens and you want, if you live in wetlands anywhere in New Jersey and you want to put a garage up or a pole barn or a swing set, and you don't follow the rules of wetlands, That's it. You don't get a second chance. These people, NJNG, have been given chance after chance after chance. And there's a pipeline at the top of the Pine Barrens, which is the SRL, which is the one we're talking about, and one at the bottom called the South Jersey Gas Pipeline that has been stopped. But it's like they're trying to, they see this big swath of green on the map, and it's huge. And they say, why can't we put our pipeline through there? So they're doing this to the Pine Lands, in my opinion, anyway. That's what I think the plan is, well, we got all this green. What do we need all this green? No one thinks of New Jersey as green, but take a look at the map. There's that huge swath of green that we need to protect, or we're all going to be in big trouble.
It's true. Thank you for that. So, so you know, you have this commission with this really sacred duty. I mean, honestly, to protect something 17 trillion gallons is a lot of water. That's the kind of number I make up when I'm trying to be like, you know, exaggerate stuff.
Right.
Like I just said before, like 53 yeah. trillion, right? Like 17 trillion is not
real. Yeah.
Many of us can wrap our brain around that. That's a huge. So, where
now, the Christie administration. He got it, this commission. It used to be run by people that cared about the environment.
What political influence did we have on the Pinelands Commission?
There are 15 members of the Pinelands Commission.
Yeah.
7 members are appointed by the governor. 7 members, one comes from each county that touches the Pinelands in any way. One is from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
I think, Agnes, you're tapping your microphone on something. I don't know.
My button.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, and so there's one from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, one from each county that touches the Pinelands in any way, and 7 from the governor that come from anywhere in the state. And the governor's appointees, and not just the governor's appointees, but the governor had influence on a lot of the county appointees. So they all were voting for these pipelines. Not only that, he also gets to appoint the director, executive director. And she would do these runarounds before they had enough votes to vote them in. She would run around the commission and just make this like executive decision to okay the South Jersey gas pipeline, which of course they took him to court and that was overturned. So, but there was a lot of shenanigans and there's still a lot of shenanigans.
So instead of having a commission which now protects the Pinelands, which is what it's supposed to do, the commission's become a battleground. Instead of them fulfilling their mission and doing what they're supposed to do, we now got to go to fight with the people meant to protect as if they're the enemy. They've essentially become an arm for the oil.
We've actually sued them.
The Pinelands Commission themselves.
Yeah, a lot of people have sued them. Sierra Club, Pinelands Preservation Alliance have taken them to court. And then our tax dollars through the AG is used to defend.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So it's a broken program now at this point. The Pinelands Commission is almost
a joke,
right? I mean, what do we need let me ask you, what do we need the Pinelands Commission for at this point?
Very little, because it's hard for them to even get a quorum. A lot of their members are old. When they dial in, they don't have, you know, a quorum of 15 is like 7 members or 8 members. They can't even get that many.
Pathetic. Paid?
No, they're not paid. The executive director's paid. There is a staff, but the members themselves are not paid.
Okay. I mean, I appreciate the struggle. Now, as far as the, you know, the woman who went through all this, I know they like put her up in a hotel
They wanted to, but she wasn't really comfortable with that, with the COVID. You know, she's in a risk group. Yeah, she's elderly, you know, she's spry. Don't get me wrong, but you know, she's up there. But, you know, she didn't want to go to a hotel. Right. Too many people, you know? So right now she's staying with friends until they're going to, I guess, find her something more appropriate, you know, like an apartment, I guess.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine, you know, being, you know, and as you get older, you kind of get a little more comfortable at home. That's where you have to take care of yourself. So, you know, where the bathroom is and the meds are in this cabinet and the fruit is in this drawer. And now you're
she spent a lot of her time outdoors.
It's frustrating. And as activists, we're so frustrated because I love to say I told you so most times. It's one of my favorite things to do is to go up to somebody after something fucks up. And I said, I told you this was going to happen. But it's different when it's really like this serious, when it affects human life or your home or your health.
Right.
Or something like that. It's not, you don't take as much pleasure in saying, I told you so. This is one of those cases.
Well, we've talked to the county, the Brunt County freeholders today during their meeting.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, they've been one of the few effective bodies. But, you know, now that they're Democrat, you know, they all got elected on, oh, we're going to help to stop the pipeline. But now they're like, oh, there's really nothing we could do, blah, blah, blah. But I think that now that this has happened, they're really taking it seriously. Hopefully there is something they can do and they will do it. But we're like saying, what does it take? What is it going to take? Someone dying? Thank God there's no gas in there. If there was gas in that pipeline and it failed, people would die.
I hate to relate it to, you know, my worldview here a little bit, but these are the same people that send our military into other countries to bomb them for profit. You know, they really, we're not dealing with a group of people that have high moral value, you know, and that's the long and short of it. And the truth is, despite all this, they're still treating us better than they treat our comrades in, you know, Iraq and Iran and these other places, but you can see how ruthless they'll be. So to think that these same executives that are basically directing our military and bombing people are going to really care that somebody's house got a little crack in it. You know, you can kind of, you know, understand that the level of narcissism and arrogance you're dealing with when you deal with these really, really powerful or oil companies. But it's worth the struggle because, like you said, the consequences are very high for our environment.
It's also, like I said, the holy one of two. Now, the South Jersey gas pipeline is essentially at this point paused. So it's kind of dead. Not that it won't rear its ugly head again. It probably will. They never give up. But this pipeline, the SRL pipeline, is the only holy New Jersey pipeline. So if we could bring any pressure on the governor, any of our legislators, the BPU, the DEP, any of these groups to stop it. It's in their power to stop it. But the owners, New Jersey Resources, they own New Jersey Natural Gas, are one of the biggest donors in the state to both parties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, that's it. Kim, before we go, you got time. We got time. You have anything for our guests before we sign off today?
Oh, no, I thank you for everything that you do. This is wonderful. We need more people to fight for this because it does affect our life. I mean, we've seen where fracking has been done on farms and has harmed people's health that way, you know, and we don't need it. Yeah.
Coming into this pipeline.
Yeah,
exactly. It's sad, you know, it's like we don't take, it's a shame that New Jersey isn't doing a green deal.
Yeah.
Why are we not focusing more on green energy? It's crazy.
Master Plan doesn't even address like climate change in that way, where the cumulative greenhouse gases from things like methane. It's not even in the new Energy Master Plan. So yeah, they don't want to look at it.
I think the only thing green I saw in New Jersey was a couple windmills near Atlantic City. I don't think we've seen any. Yeah.
Easy lift.
More talk from the Democratic Party, but when it comes down to policy, it's the same old.
Promises, but nothing delivered.
People,
thank you guys for having me on.
No, people like Agnes Marsal never give up the fight. I know it's been a while. Let's not make it so long the next time around. All right,
we'll do it, Brian.
How do we get in touch with you? To plug your website and where your events and you're raising money. What's up?
Okay, well, we're People Over Pipelines. Our website hasn't been updated in a while. But we do have a link on the website, peopleoverpipelines.com, that will lead you to donate if you want to. We also have a People Over Pipelines Facebook page that you can keep up to date on what we're doing and the actions that we're taking.
Great. Thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in to New Jersey Revolution Radio one last time, sponsored by the August Agency. And you can donate to us, www.njrevolutionradio.com. We could really use a couple of bucks to get our streamers out there. I posted a link in the comments. It goes to our streamers fund. That's how we get, you know, people out to protests, and I get footage and audio, and we cover things. So the more you donate, the more we cover and the more you'll know. So I really do appreciate it. I also want to thank Kim for being here the last few weeks, filling in as the co-host. I really, thanks, Kim. It's been fun hanging out with you. We're going to do this more and more.
Sure we will.
You know, your time and your expertise, particularly in the field of health and activism all over the state, very much appreciated. You
will continue. Same with Agnes, too.
Yep, going to continue. Next week, we will return with Lark Lowe. She's going to hang out with me for a month of shows. She is an expert on so many things. I don't even want to narrow it down. She's been on the show before talking about her teaching and education program. She's done anti-racist work. She's an all-around wonderful organizer. She's blogged for us before, and she has my respect. She's one of those comrades that when I first started doing this, just kept telling me how good I was going to be and how I'm going to do it and just keep at it. And despite all the mistakes and things falling apart in the background and audio problems, she kept pushing me to get better and better, and I thank her. So I can't wait to do a month of shows with Lark Lowe starting next Wednesday, 8 p.m., right here on Facebook Live, Twitter, and YouTube. And right after I close this show out, we're going to listen to a song called Everything by Infinite Skills. Dude I met out of North Carolina to Tennessee. I think he's in Tennessee now. Met him through the Green Party campaign. I want to thank Infinite Skills, Jeremy, for letting us play his music during today's show. And if you're an artist out there and you want to hear your music on NJRR Live, email us, info@njrevolutionradio.com, or send us a message on the Facebook page or something. We'll find you. But until then, Kim, thank you very much again. Agnes, thank you very much. We appreciate all of you.
Thank you.
Next week, this is Brian Powers, and I want to remind everybody, the police can quit their jobs. Good night.
Good night. Yeah.
Let's listen to some. Jeremy, let's listen to some Infinite Skills. This is what I was talking about, everybody. Enjoy.
Dragon says be patient, but I don't like waiting. If I don't blow soon, wait, you gon' be debating. Don't do it. She stay, but she go. I hate to see her leave, but it's on with the show. What we have is real, but if the wind blows, the one thing that's infinite is my flow. You can't divorce that, never had to force that. Got the city riding with me like my jack's a horseback.
Whoa.
But one time, that ain't gon' cut it. To really make noise, I need about 100. The experts say, that takes a lot of funding. So I told Jay, let's get to running. Keep throwing tracks at me till the game is slapped. Happy Mayweather with the mic. Vocal been a dad, Jabby. Target is the basis of everyone who laughs at me. It's saying Hogwarts, but musically we have it on my family. I put that on my name. I will always be true to the game. I put that on everything. I put that on my mama. I put that on my wife. I put that on my firstborn baby in my life. I put that on everything. Voted the best local. My aim's been higher. Love my city, but I'd rather have an empire. We're on that highway.
What we doing?
Road tripping like them frat boys, but the goal is different. You can be certain I am on my Tyler Durden, trying to get this dream working till my breath is perfect.
Yes, sir.
I want it flawless when I wake. God made me in his image, so that's all I'm gonna take. I'm out here, homie, without fear, homie. And promoting me the first thing you can douse fear on me.
Bottoms up.
Go ahead, spill the whole keg. Waterboard if you want, bet I won't beg. Yeggy on my back, one-on-ones on my feet. Everything coming to me, except for defeat. So as I sever this beat, while spitting effortlessly, I take you out of this world, call it my clever retreat. I put that on my family, I put that on my name. I will always be true to the game. I put that on everything,
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 everything, everything. I put that on my mama, I put that on my wife. I put that on my firstborn baby in my life. I put that on everything,
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 everything.
We got
got our wings out. The team's coming up. I never worry about who's running up or have I done enough? Cause if the sun is up, I make noise. Me and my boys run them up. Running through towns like a handful of twisters. For each mile, I want a fan with a fist up. Plans to resist us fail miserably. We don't make movies, we make history. And literally, it's being written right now. Got love for Virginia, but I'm glad I left town. Went from living with my mom like a peasant in the basement to being in charge as the president of Basie. Look, bruh, I'm always on my job. Like these MPs at an overseas farm. That's slacking for the mother guys. I'm infinite, I work till I'm immortalized. I put that on my name. I will always be true to the game. I put that on everything. I put that on my mama. I put that on my wife. I put that on my firstborn baby in my life. I put that on everything. I put that on my family. I put that on my name. I will always be true to the game. I put that on everything. I put that on my mama. I put that on my wife. I put that on my firstborn baby in my life. I put that on everything.